So our third and final research theme is that of green radio. This is one close to my heart. I've been a radio engineer for more than 30 years, and I had the privilege of chairing the steering group for the green radio theme from the beginning as we tried to put this programme together, and have now handed that role on to Simon, who I'm sure will ably take it forward during the course of the programme. So I'll leave it to Simon to tell you more.
Thank you, Trevor. No, okay, I was going to say, can I have the radio mic, but I won't challenge Jerry with that one. Just a few words of self-introduction before I go into the body of the presentation. My name's Simon Fletcher, I'm from NEC. I work with the networks side of NEC. And actually, if you take a business card from me today, it will say Telecom Modus on it. Telecom Modus is a wholly owned subsidiary of NEC based in the UK, and we are focusing on system architecture aspects for emerging technologies. I'm part of the project management team that will pull through from research organisations in Japan or wherever else we can find clever ideas and try and architect them onto emerging systems, new base station technologies and networks. So let me just give you a quick overview of where the presentation will take us today. Firstly, I'll give you a brief, very brief, overview of the business case for looking at green radio. Why are we doing this? As an industrial, I always get asked why. And we always have to think about the reason, the motivation. It has to come down to money or business at the end of the day, so we're trying to justify it on those grounds. Then trying to look at what the objectives for this program are in particular, and how we would like to achieve those objectives, what's the organisation of the program. I'm going to highlight briefly what research areas we have, and it's really just going to be scratching the surface. There may be a bit of jargon, so apologies to people, unlike Trevor, who haven't been in the business for many years and may not recognise the word jargon, but I'll try my best to take you through it, then look at the key deliverables and some conclusions. Okay, so why green radio? This is a perspective from an operator and a manufacturer. At the end of the day, the manufacturers have to sell something to the operators, so we all have to sing off the same sheet. One of the issues we're seeing in the industry, and it's a growing issue for us clearly, is, and not just in our industry, but all industry, energy price trends are going up. And they may have taken a slight drop down, for example, the oil price has gone back down again, but we know where the trend is going. And there's also a demand for increased data rates to the network edge. This typically requires more base stations to supply that data. All of these trends will only serve to increase the requirements in terms of energy consumption. Typical network in the UK today is running off 40 megawatts roughly, and actually as a percentage of the overall energy consumption in the UK, that's not a huge amount. And even if you consider the five network operators that we have today and multiply 40 meg up by the five, you're still not making a big impact on the overall consumption of the UK. However, this industry obviously has to take some part of the responsibility in terms of reducing energy consumption. And one of the things I want to just highlight here is, although not directly researching this programme, one of the things we mustn't forget is, as exactly as Ed says, telecoms should be, and we believe can be, a key enabler in terms of reducing consumption in other industries. If we can see how we can apply telecommunications in other industries to help reduce their energy consumption, I think that is very much an issue for us. And clearly, when we start looking at emerging markets, we have a different challenge. They don't have the infrastructure in a mature market. For example, you run a base station off generator, fuel costs are a challenge there. One of the things that also is we're getting a lot of statements now from operators to keep the shareholders happy and to keep governments happy, We get a lot of statements now in annual reports. So from our corporate social responsibility perspective, we need to address some energy consumption. And certainly Vodafone have made some very clear requirements or statements, 50% reduction by 2020. And Orange have made similar statements. Theirs is more based on a per customer, but still pushing down to 20% by 2020 per customer. So statements are being made in the big picture, and we need to take them seriously. Okay, let's take a look quickly at where the energy is used in these networks. And 50% of the energy used is at the edge of the network, it's in the radio access, 57%. If you look at the graphic at the bottom here, you'll see RBS radio base station, 57% of the energy consumed. The dominant energy requirement here is in terms of electricity to power these base stations. One thing I want to hint at here, and we'll come back to it as a theme throughout this presentation, let's look at, for example, user devices. Actually, in terms of the power consumed, it's not a big issue. What takes a lot of energy in terms of a user device is how much it costs to produce it. We call it embodied energy. How much energy is captured within the manufacturing process to create or integrate this silicon and this plastic and this display and produce something that is attractive to the end consumer. So the graphic on the right hand side shows, it's a reference from an Ericsson presentation, shows it quite well. There is obviously some base station and mobile consumption or total energy consumption, but actually we need to consider not just the operational energy, but we also need to consider the issue of embodied energy. Right, now those are two big pictures in terms of some drivers in the market. Let's look at green radio and justify it as an enabler in terms of helping us to grow the industry. The graphic on the left shows some trends. These are very well understood and well known trends, but let's just reiterate them here so we know where we're coming from. We're moving from a voice-centric to data-centric communication world, and at the moment what we see is the demand, and of course as a vendor of network equipment I'm very happy to see it, the demand for bits to be delivered to mobile devices is going up exponentially as people move to a mobile broadband environment and think in those terms in terms of their mobile devices. This is driving up traffic. But what we're seeing is the business models of the operators typically now are moving towards a flat rate. If you imagine your ADSL service that you're receiving at the moment, typically you would pay a flat fee, and that would guarantee you a particular amount of data or data rate for your service. And therefore the revenue is plateauing. And this is an issue for us in terms of where do we balance. And certainly we see we must address these divergent requirements. We've got to reduce our energy per bit that is carried, and as the number of base stations increases, we must reduce the power per cell. And we believe that we have to find or position the green radio as a way to find an enabler to keep the trend in the traffic growth, but also guard against a huge energy draw on the grid. Okay, so then we look at the situation we have last year. Green radio kicked off. Ed's already given an overview of the Futures Visions group, and that gave us a good idea or a good starting point in terms of where we needed to go with looking at the Green Challenge. And I'm not going to read out all of this statement, I've just highlighted a few of the key words here. Clearly we're looking at multimedia services. Some words here in terms of two or three orders of magnitude lower transmission power. And we're looking for a systematic, system-wide way to reduce the consumption of the networks. Just addressing a particular small part of the technology won't give us the solution. We have to take a broad view here. And the objective is set, is clear. NEC has a good regard, certainly when I speak to colleagues in Japan in NEC, they recognise MVCE as world class. And therefore we have to preserve that reputation in what is becoming quite a hot topic in the industry. And so we've got to take forward the existing research, and we need to try and find a way, a niche, in which we are internationally leading. Here is our industrial leadership team. Myself as chairman, Andy, who's here somewhere, over there, is deputy chair from Norto, and another deputy, Dave Lister from Vodafone, who's not here with us today. What we have here is the industrial steering group with concept, which is we encourage other companies who are part of MVCE to take part in the activities. And apologies to anyone who's been missed off this slide, but the bottom indicates, certainly looking through the minutes of the meeting we've had so far in Green Radio, these companies have taken an active interest or input and reviewed the activities within Green Radio. So we've got an industrial leadership team in place, and of course we need to start signing some research. But let's look at some of the story then when we start looking at the scenarios we need to analyse. What we've done here is we've taken two high-level global market profiles that we may need to address, or we certainly do need to address, and they're subtly different, or maybe not so subtly. There's the developed world and the emerging markets. The issues in the developed world are quite clear. We have quite a mature infrastructure. Markets are generally quite saturated. If you look at Japan, we're well and truly saturated in terms of mobile penetration. Quality of service is key, and is becoming more so as people demand more for their money. And there's clearly a drive to reduce costs. Emerging markets, we're looking at quite immature, possibly, less established infrastructure. The markets are moving very quickly, large geographical areas typically, and we may have trouble running power to the base stations. What we've established within, as an asset within the Green Radio program, is the Book of Assumptions. The Book of Assumptions will be maintained as we go forward, and it identifies, based on these global market perspectives, we look at cellular, enterprise and home scenarios, and how we would address those from a green perspective. And we really need to focus on those particular scenarios to target the innovations. Okay, so we've identified some scenarios, we've identified where we want to focus our efforts, and then we need some people to actually do the work, because I'm not a researcher, and so we need some researchers. And the final and the most important part of the team, therefore, is the universities, in terms of helping us to get some clever ideas. So we've got Stephen Rockland, who's down at the front there, who's heading up the activities from an academic coordination perspective in Edinburgh. Tim O'Farrell from Swansea, University of Bristol, Simon Arnold's mostly taking the lead there, and King's College as well. So these four universities, actually three of them, with the exception of Swansea, three of them have been in mobile VC for a very long time and are well respected in this area. And Swansea's come on board for this programme, also has some very good input as a new university, injecting good new ideas into the mix. So here we have the Green Radio programme organisation. You can tell my project management background here. I like to make sure the organisation is clear for everyone. The industrial steering group will take an oversight over everything, obviously. There are two key activity areas. Green Radio, or GR1 as we call it, but I won't use that GR1 again, and you don't need to remember that. That's the architecture research area. It's charged with identifying green network architecture, low power, clearly, wireless network and backhaul that still provides quality of service. So just some short, just a short keyword sentence there to focus the thoughts. And the techniques area, we're looking at to identify the best radio techniques across all layers of the protocol stack, and we're looking for 100 times power reduction. Okay. That's the target that is... I can see Steve's a little bit worried. But it's a big target, but we need to set our sights high here to focus our efforts. Two pink boxes there, the energy focus group I'll come on to describe, and we're trying also to see synergies into the flexible networks program. The process we go through next is to look at how do we target our innovations. So in the architecture program we have established three key areas. Certainly one of the key issues for architectures, and the architecture's activity is running a little bit ahead of techniques because it's an overarching or a good way of giving us a framework for controlling the techniques analysis. But we are trying to establish some clear understanding of exactly where we are now in terms of existing networks and the solutions we have out there. How do we consume energy now? Can we break it out and say, right, this part takes this percentage, this part takes this percentage? Trying to look at the network elements, base sites, mobiles, and feed those into the book of assumptions to give us a baseline. Then we need to look at our backhaul strategy. Backhaul is very important in terms of we find a challenge, and certainly in my involvement in the development of the 3GPP standards at LTE, one of the things we're seeing is now we can go up to extremely high data rates at the network edge. In theory, the peak rate and the links is very high, but you've got to get that data off the base station and into the network. Backhaul is a key challenge and will continue to be so. And the issue then is to look at how we deploy technologies, this system. And we need to look for optimal deployment strategies. In the techniques area, we're looking more at network elements and trying to focus on hot topic areas. The architecture program takes a systematic overall view. Here, we're trying to focus on some particular technology challenges. And the techniques program will be looking at overall base station efficiency, and we're looking in particular at improvements in the overall efficiency of the base station, and it's measured from RF power out to total input power, so we're taking a holistic view from the base station perspective. Improvement of quality of service and RF power ratio. This is a big metric or KPI from my perspective for the systems. One of the things we want to push, thinking about emerging markets, is assuming a very low power supply, a very low capacity power supply is available at a base station. So let's set the target low and say we've got 100 watts for 24 hours. That's 2.4 kilowatt hours power. Right, what can we do with that? How can we use it in the most efficient way? And that sets us a benchmark in terms of a limited energy budget model. And then we're looking to see how we can scale the energy needs with traffic, looking at sleep mechanisms and other such things to try and keep on top of the energy consumed. I'm going to not go through too much of the detail, there's a lot of technical stuff here, but let me just give you an overview in terms of the architecture program and the technical approach. I want to pick out the first two in particular because we're driving forward on those at the start. Energy metrics and models. Metrics are key for us. We need to establish some good quality metrics at the start of the program that will inform the quality of the research that comes later. It will give us a way to assess whether we're achieving our targets. And we need to identify some energy efficient architectures fairly on in the game. But once the architecture program comes a little bit later into next year, we'll start looking at some of the broader topics in terms of multi-hop routing, how that can help us in terms of energy, and also looking at frequency management. certainly when we're looking at multi-hop routing, we need to take care of delay tolerance. Whether it's possible to bound and understand the energy consumption once when we have a particular strong delay tolerance for a particular quality of service requirement. But not all services require the same delivery time. Is it possible to relax the delivery time and therefore to reduce the consumption in terms of delivering that information to the end user? Frequency management, I haven't used the words, I haven't used the term cognitive radio in there because I think we've almost done that term to death. But it is within the frequency management area, we will certainly be looking at dynamic spectrum access, which has cognitive radio connotations. We're looking at how we can utilise the frequency in a more effective way, again, of course, addressing the energy requirements. Also looking at solar powered relaying. Right, now this is just to give you an overview of the process we'll go through. It's quite a systematic way. I like to see a system in place. For me, it's important that we see how we're going to address these issues and what the steps we're going to take. So here in the energy efficiency analysis, there's a process in place. We're going to have a sliding scale, if you like, going from a macro cellular or a macro cell deployment right the way down to femto, and we're going to derive some metrics from that perspective. We want to look at the energy consumption based on those different models. Certainly from a femto cell perspective, the user is quite typically has to be quite close to the base station. Intuitively, the closer the user is to the base station, the less energy is required to deliver. But, of course, we need to investigate the issues there. Step two, then, is to start overlaying some clever technologies. When we start looking at network coding, this is where we have a link into, hopefully, into the flexible network guys. Cooperative networking will also be considered. And then step three is to look at these different perspectives that are identified at the bottom. Radio resource management, bitrate, EBMO, link budget, mobility, all these issues are standard radio engineering that have to be addressed. We need to make sure we have those issues covered. And so we go through this scenario iteratively, no doubt, and try and refine the metrics to give us a good balance. This is a picture that comes cut and paste from the program description document. This is our big picture, our wish list. It shows all the possible scenarios that we're interested in covering. In reality, we're going to have to focus, and that's why it's important to have industrial input, because it may not be possible to cover absolutely everything on this picture. But certainly our ambition is to do so, is to find an abstraction from this network deployment diagram or this many different scenarios and make sure the metrics can be applied across the picture here. But in the previous slide, what I showed was there was no underlying technology in terms of base stations or networks. In this picture, we see real technology. We see real cost in terms of producing and manufacturing this technology and delivering those macro cells and femto cells so they're available in the network. And therefore, it's important when we consider this perspective, as I would do as a system architect working with NEC, we need to consider embodied energy because it is potentially a gotcha. If we come up with a clever abstraction but don't consider how much it costs in terms of energy to create this technology, we're going to be in trouble potentially. Let's look at the techniques program then in a little bit detail here. Certainly one of the areas we want to look at, and it's quite always a good topic to address because it's quite a significant one, is hardware. The typical base station efficiency that we're seeing at the moment is 4% roughly. That hasn't really changed, depressingly, no matter what technology. Certainly talking with colleagues in Mortar when we were coming up with these slides. These figures are actually from a GSM base station, but you look at a UMTS base station, it's not that much different. So we've gone from one standard generation to another standard generation. We still have roughly the same performance. So we have to find a way to make a step change, and that's what we'll be searching for. Certainly, we hope that these lessons learned in this program can be applied when we start thinking about multimodal or multi-standard base station solutions. Equipment reuse is important, certainly from the perspective of embodied energy. Integration, how can we integrate parts of the system? The message of this slide is not necessarily to say all these issues will be researched within the universities, but when we think from an industrial perspective, we need to think how we can apply the research to these topic areas. And certainly that's one of the key areas we'll be looking at. We're hoping to imagine how we could get to a 20% overall efficiency base station, maybe a bit more. We look to see if we can improve on that. And power amplifiers, which are key, always a weak spot in terms of energy consumption, we're looking to get to 60% power amplifier efficiency, and certainly there are some ideas in terms of envelope tracking, which is a well-known technique but can be evolved to give us some advantages there. DSP and radio resource management is still certainly an issue for us, and in terms of the baseband processing and the core functionality within the base station, there are some techniques that can always be applied. Most of these techniques or technologies or approaches at the moment are applied to give quality of service, system maximum system throughput, peak rates. That's what the industry is focused on always. Certainly since I've been in the industry, we always do the first test. What's our peak rate that we can achieve? That's what we do in a lab every time when we roll out a new system. We're going to have a mindset change, and we need to say, turn on the base station, let's look at what the energy consumption is before we worry about what the peak rate is. But certainly we need to look at these issues, interference, minimisation, cancellation. Okay, peer-to-peer communications between terminals. Definitely we need to think about whether there are ways to share information between terminals. I've been talking from a networks perspective, but it is possible, certainly the standards allow it, to have relaying of information between terminals. That may allow us to reduce the overall power consumption when you think about the end-to-end delivery of data, maybe. RRM techniques to lower the power consumption. RRM is a core technology for networks, and is always very radio resource management is always well worth looking at. Here though, we need to look at it from the perspective of energy consumption again. It's very important. Level approaches, here there is some network coding, and we're also trying to draw in some ideas from maybe not directly related to the program, but certainly in the areas of sensor networks, there may be something that can be applied to help us in terms of the reduction of energy, the cost of energy delivered to end users, and cross-layer approaches. I want to highlight here for our industrial members that we're not looking blue sky here. And you will see in the next couple of slides, I mention LTE and WiMAX a little bit, because it's important that we recognise here we have to make some step changes in the way we approach, but also we have to be realistic. We're trying to address problems or find solutions that we can roll out in the next 7 to 10 years maybe. In that time frame, LTE, WiMAX will be with us very much so, and we cannot engineer out those technologies. We have to build on what we have as an asset already. But let's look at the green radio deliverables that we have here. First year, we're going to certainly, one of the key parts of the programme is always to try and reach out to our industrials, and also if possible to draw in ideas from other organisations, other industries. And certainly in year one, we will be doing a workshop to look at the architecture and metrics and look at some promising techniques that are already available. So Q3 of this year, we will run this workshop. All industrials are welcome to join to enter into the debate. Hopefully by then we will have quite a stable view as to what the metrics should be. That's certainly our target for this programme. We will then produce an executive summary of where we are by the end of year one. Year two, we hope to do some more outreaching in terms of poster days and other such things, sharing results with the NVC community, and reports on the efficiency gains that we're seeing. One of the key issues for us is, as I said, one of those slides, we've got some percentage targets here in the techniques area. What will be quite interesting is to go back to these slides on our program description and see how close are we really to what we wanted to achieve. Can we tweak something somewhere to improve the situation if we're not quite on target? We need to have that discussion as we go through the program. Reports on the, when we start moving into year three, the ideas are maturing, the PhDs are coming towards the end. We should be looking at getting some fairly mature executive level summaries that give a good indication of the direction we want to take, or we want to take direction we recommend out of MVCE, and certainly that information becomes very, very valuable to me when I talk to the business management in NEC, and certainly all the other industrials will have exactly the same motivation. And so the year three summary and really trying to draw out the value from the program is a very important stage of the activities. I'm going to go through the program processes. I think actually the first presentation maybe covered the CSG coordination steering groups and technical steering groups reasonably well. Coordination steering groups, this is a monthly activity, hopefully 1 hour a month. It will be chaired by myself, and it's really an administrative activity here. We're looking to make sure we've got the progress that we're hoping for, look forward in terms of deliverables, make sure we're on target. One of the key issues for us as industrials is to capture patents. Within the organisation of MVC, everyone has access to the patents that are generated, but it's a good metric or KPI for a key performance indicator for the organisation of MVCE to see if we can get some patentable ideas out. I hope we can. And there will also be publications. It's important that we reach out to other organisations, publish information, but of course before we publish we need to make sure that we've captured the value for us, for ourselves within MVCE. And then we'll also look at things like the outreach to other organisations, and also invent organisation within MVCE to encourage industrial and researcher collaboration. Quarterly technical steering groups, very important. This is where it's led by the academic coordinator, and academics very much take a lead. The researchers will present their ideas in detail. Industrials are very much welcome to come to the meeting and to ask difficult questions. That's what they're there for. The interdependent approach we're trying to encourage in this program, looking at the well-established and mature processes that we inherit from core four of MVC that have been evolving over the 10 years or maybe even more than that MVC has been in existence, and those are very good for supporting the industrials in terms of how we control the research and get some value, but it's always good to tweak. And in core five we're tweaking again, and what we're trying to do here, certainly we see a lot of synergies possible with flexible networks. We want to look at how we can achieve some common knowledge platform. Ideally, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. If one program is pushing ahead because they've got their researcher on stream quicker than Green Radio, and they can provide some knowledge into the community of MVCE ahead of Green Radio, then as an industrial, I'm not interested in seeing another researcher in another organisation doing exactly the same thing. There needs to be a way to exchange and share the information so we maximise the utility of the research resource that we have. And certainly in the areas of network coding, routing, adaptive self-organisation, there could well be some synergies in the programme. A new technology that we're trying to use, which is certainly very useful to me in terms of attending conferences and seeing research papers Not so much with an MVCE yet, but I hope it will work with an MVCE. WebEx is a good facility. Internet-based interaction is possible. We want to encourage the researchers to interact directly with engineers, be they in China, Japan, Canada, wherever. And the technology of WebEx and internet-based interaction allows that, enables that kind of interaction, which is very much appreciated. And one of the other things that we're trying is to use a wiki. We use wikis quite a lot within NEC to varying degrees of success, because you need to have a different mindset in some respects in terms of information openness. Now, I think MVCE has a good culture of openness of information, and so the wiki could well work within this environment. Certainly we're looking, because we want to tie in the relevance to LTE, LTE Advanced, WiMAX, the industrials who are hands-on in these technologies will probably be much, it will be in a very good position to feed in that knowledge into a wiki. And also there are leading-edge green technologies that are being developed and announced throughout the world, and we need to gain that knowledge to make sure we're not reinventing the wheel, as I said. And hopefully we will create a knowledge base, an asset within the program on the wiki that enables us to process information that is coming from industry-wide and make sure that we're well on track. And there's the last thing here which I want to talk about, is the Energy Focus Group. The Energy Focus Group will be headed up by industrials and is required to think about embodied energy as one of the key aspects in terms of how much it costs to manufacture the technology, and make sure that we feed real-world concerns back in an iterative way back into the research group. And that activity will continue, and you will see certainly on the web pages, the Energy Focus Group is always trying to keep our meetings going on. Dates for the diary, industrial steering groups, 2nd of April, we also have one 2nd of July, so the dates are here for you to look at your leisure. And in terms of outreach events, which I'm quite keen on, we have the WWIF activity on the 4th of May where we make some presentations, and there's also the Femto Forum Research Day, which is under discussion with Simon Saunders, Femto Forum, hopefully on the 23rd to around the 23rd to the 25th. Let me give you some conclusions. In conclusion, I would say green technologies is very much relevant to business and also politics. We have to address these issues if the telecoms industry is not to be regarded as a dirty industry in the future. And it's a 48-man-year program over 3 years. It will give us a good systematic approach to look at the architecture aspects, and we also have some focused work to look at key technology elements within the systems and target some innovations, and we will certainly give some insights that are valuable to operators and to equipment vendors. Please join the team. MVC works very, very well when we can get the researchers interacting with the industrials. We get a good, open, pre-competitive discussion going. This is, the NBC operates in the pre-competitive space, and that allows us some degrees of freedom in terms of our exchange of views, which is very much appreciated by NEC, and certainly I encourage anyone who hasn't entertained the thought yet of joining the Green Radio program, industrials, please join with me and together we can help steer the researchers to give us the maximum value for our investment. So your participation is very much welcomed. And I think, yes.